Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, are we just sitting here, Drew? There we go.
Not anymore.
There we go. We speak the same unspoken language.
Exactly. Like, you know, we're ready to start. I'm Molly Wood, everyone. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, the weekday podcast where we make today make sense. Yes, we do.
I'm Kai Risnall, and I will tell you that once again, on the beginning of a Hollowed Out Shell Thursday 15 minutes, I'm feeling pretty good, and I wonder what's going to happen in the next 15 minutes to turn my smile upside down, if I could pervert
exactly.
a phrase there.
We can fix that. I know. Has Hollowed Out Shell Thursday become a self-fulfilling prophecy? Is that what's happened to you?
I don't know. Maybe. You can talk yourself into inflation. You can talk yourself into, I don't know, maybe.
Turns out you really can. But
maybe.
Yes, we're going to, what we mean is it's nigh on the end of the week and yet not quite Friday, but so close. Yeah. My child finished middle school today officially. He is now a rising high schooler.
Look out.
This is a huge deal. Huge deal. He and all his other 14-year-old friends want to get cars. I'm like, I'm sorry. What is this? This is not a thing.
Of course they do.
It's not.
Of course they do.
Happening.
What do you mean? It is a thing.
I told him if he was in one of my home states that at 14 he could learn to drive and get a provisional license if we needed him to drive the tractor on the farm. That's how the young kids got it when I was growing up.
Wait, hold on.
But
home states? I think you have to pick one. I know you're from both, but you have to pick one.
Do I? Because it's literally almost the exact same number of years in each state, in Montana and North Dakota.
Oh.
I pick them according to anecdote.
Okay. All right. Okay. Then maybe you don't have to pick.
Right.
I don't know.
But enough about
no,
me.
No.
Let's do the news.
Oh, my goodness. Let us do
will
the
make
news.
Me smile.
That's right. Yeah. All right. You go first.
I have a couple of updates. These are update stories. One is that yesterday on the program on What Do You Want to Know Wednesday, someone asked us about the impact of Florida's new law. And I said, in effect, nothing but lawsuits.
Yeah.
This, of course, being the law that Florida passed that said that social media companies, if they did not own and operate a theme park, would be fined bigly if they censored, tried to remove politicians from their sites or censored certain news outlets. The lawsuits have started. Two tech industry organizations have sued Florida over these rules. NetChoice and the CCIA represent Amazon, Google, Intel, Samsung, and Facebook, among others. This is according to The Verge. And they said that the law was, quote, a frontal assault on the First Amendment.
Yeah.
Which is,
Yeah.
A very concise version of what I said yesterday. So...
I wonder what the hourly rate for those lawyers who, wrote that blistering brief is, because could have just listened to our podcast and done the same thing.
I know, seriously, just transcribed it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, Florida taxpayers, you'll be fighting that one. That's just saying.
Yes.
And then we have been lately talking a lot about crypto and cryptocurrency and its impact on the environment and what use it is other than a big, huge, fat, enrichment vehicle. For investors, this is the kind of story that says, hey, it's definitely going to keep doing those things. Because Andreessen Horowitz, which for those who are not in Silicon Valley, is, probably the biggest, if not the biggest venture capital firms in the Valley with a very storied history. Andreessen is raising a fund. It was one of the major investors behind Coinbase, which is, of course, the crypto exchange firm that went public recently. And they are, according to Newcomer.co, who's a Bloomberg former Bloomberg writer, Eric Newcomer, tripling down on crypto, raising the firm is raising its third fund to invest specifically in crypto-related technologies, and they're targeting $2 billion. $2 billion. So,
holy cow.
Sometimes we think the world just evolves in ways and there's no reason, right? The reason is always the money. And in this case, always. So you have a company like Coinbase that comes along and says, oh, we could probably make money, you know, being a marketplace for exchanging crypto. And then they go public and then they make a lot of money. And then a lot of venture capitalists think, wow, we can make a lot of money here. And in fact, if you raise a $2 billion fund, you earn $50 million in fees, just fees for managing that fund. You actually get, and venture capital firms get paid to take people's money, assuming that they're making money. They don't usually take this if they lose money. Or sorry, they charge fees no matter what just for taking money.
Right,
and then they have this thing
you
called a carry where they make more money exactly if they make money. So there's lots of reasons to be in crypto. And again, none of them have to do with the health of the planet or even its use right now as a decentralized currency. They all have to do with making crap tons of money and expect that to continue as long as things like this are happening.
Yep. Yep.
Follow the money.
Random Mark Andreessen anecdote. Mark Andreessen of Andreessen Horowitz is the guy who came up with Netscape and that browser and that whole deal. When I was working at the Borders Bookstore in Palo Alto, California in 1997, I sold Mark Andreessen a book.
Really?
So there you go.
Yeah. There you go. He reads. Like, I'm just kidding. He's really smart.
I knew who he was. I knew who he was. And I was like,
oh, and you knew?
Andreessen. He was like, yeah. How you doing? I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. That'll be $21.95, please. Yeah. Okay. So
I just
wish I remember what book you read.
That would be a good one.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it? It was like probably web programming for dummies or something. That would have been a better story. Anyway, I don't know if you saw this story yet, Ms. Wood, but you and I are going to win $1.5 million apiece.
Really?
California.
A million and a half?
Is starting. Yes. Incentives matter, and incentives especially matter in vaccination programs. I don't know if you saw the news the other day that the state of Ohio, having started its vaccination lottery, awarded its first $1 million prize yesterday. Gavin Newsom, the governor of the great state of California, announced today California is offering a total incentive package of $116.5 million to people who get vaccinated. So there's going to be, I think, what's the date? Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, a couple of weeks, whatever. Half the winners selected June the 4th, the rest on June 11th. There will be 10 winners of $1.5 million. Everybody who has been vaccinated or gets a vaccination by that date, even one shot, is going to be in the pool to win $1.5 million, one of 10 grand prizes. And then there's a bunch of them.
What?
I say that, number one, because you and I are going to win $1.5 million. We don't have to do anything.
Definitely.
But number two, incentives matter. And what's amazing is that in Ohio, the results of vaccination, like, improvement were through the roof, like up some huge percentage. It really works. Get your shots in California. Winning $1.5 million, but there's only 8 slots left because Molly and I are getting 2 of them. Fair warning.
That's right.
And you can get it, like, there's a couple of million $50 gift cards and blah, blah, blah. But good stuff. More people, more shots, more arms. We've been over that.
Totally.
Number two, and this is where the karma part of this podcast comes in today. So I sit down. So I put my news item in like an hour ago, whatever. And I sit down here in my little shed, once you can hear that helicopter going by, and I go scrolling through Molly's Make Me Smile, and Molly's Make Me Smile is my news item. And actually, it's completely freaking perfect. AMC shares today, right? AMC, the movie theater company, which has had, until recently, no business for a year, and which 6 months ago was going to declare bankruptcy, right, is now a $12 billion company. Because Reddit shares up 36% today because Wall Street Bets is back in action. And you look at it and you're like, oh, stonks, right?
Why not? Yep. Why not?
I'm gonna
save all my commentary for the make me smile part of this because that is hilarious and probably the first time that has ever happened. And it was absolutely delightful.
Yeah, absolutely delightful.
So Amy and I, quickly, before we play the sting,
go ahead.
Amy Scott and I talked about the vaccination incentives on Monday because she was like, I'm totally going to go enter this thing and win some stuff. And what I was saying, and I think this is really true, and the Ohio thing bears it out, is that there are plenty of people I know this seems hard to believe given the media, but there are plenty of people who don't have like super strong feelings about this pandemic. Again, I know it seems hard to believe, but it is true. And who might have been thinking, and I use the example of one of my step siblings, actually, who, had COVID and then said, you know, I'm going to wait for the older people to get their shots. I'm not in this big rush, and isn't necessarily opposed to the vaccine, but doesn't feel like he's in a big hurry. And an iPod, that was a really old lady reference, but an electronic device of the type that is being given away would probably do it. You know? And so I can see this being the thing that gets people over the hump if they don't have strong feelings. And that's great.
Right. That's great. That's totally great.
Do it.
That's what it's all about. Yep.
Love it. Kind of making me smile. So might as well. There we go. Play the music.
All right. Offer your comments here because, you know, you got to have boundaries. Yeah.
I don't know if you saw, but AMC is like huge. It's up bigly today. I think I just used bigly twice in the show, too. Anyway, so AMC is up today. GameStop is not. And what made me smile about it, and so they were saying that it's like this kind of rare uncoupling because the stonk situation is back, but they maybe aren't as stoked on GameStop as they used to be. And I read this and I was like, you know what? I think actually this is the Redditors. Once again, actually, getting in on the business fundamentals here because GameStop has not done anything with its windfall. They haven't. They haven't, like, raised more capital off of it. They've fired all their executives, and, like, they had some sort of board reshuffle because I think they're just like, we don't actually have a strategy despite the Redditors who said that they did. Whereas AMC is like, we're bringing in concerts. We're going to, like, do all this innovative stuff to get people in here with this new money other than just movies. And so I was like, oh, my God, maybe the Redditors were like, just saying, AMC actually seems to be doing more with our investment than GameStop. And so go that route.
But the idea that this company is worth $12 billion is, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, yes. But what is worth these days in a world of Tesla? Right.
Well, what is worth these days? That's true. That's true. I don't know. I guess I would go back to a movie, I think. I mean,
I really would.
Of course I'd go back to a movie. Shut up. Yeah, of course
I was thinking about it, and I was like, you know, because they're in fact, a story on Marketplace that was like, people are longing for this experience. And I was like, no, they're not. The theater's so annoying. And blah. Oh, my God, I want to go to a movie right now.
Yeah, I would definitely
go.
I would definitely go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm taking my bulletproof vaccine. Yeah. I'm going to go see Fast and Furious
That's
9.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. Of course you are. Of course you are. I should have figured that, of course.
Definitely. Yeah. At 10 a.m. In the suburbs. That is how my brother and I like to rock the movies, and I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
Oh, man. Okay. So when I was on the downhill side, actually descending side into sickness, Sunday, I watched a lot of TV. Watched a lot of sports. I watched Phil Mickelson win the PGA, which was awesome, go lefty. And I also watched a lot of Indianapolis 500 qualifying. And one of the cars there that they talked to the driver while she was in pit row waiting to go out and qualify was a Swiss driver named Simona Di Silvestro. And the reason they talked to her was that she is, number one, a female driver in IndyCars, which is rare. Number two, the team owner is a woman, Beth Peretta. And number three, everybody who works on that team is a woman. The engineers, the mechanics, the tire change people, all of them are women, which I think is cool. And so my Make Me Smile today is a piece in the Wall Street Journal about that sports car team, Peretta Auto Racing, and their relationship with the guy, a man, of course, who got him started and gave him the seed money, Roger Penske, who's kind of a legend in auto racing. And I just thought this was a cool piece, and I really liked it. And I think people should read it.
Wonderful. In the journal today. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's super cool. It's super cool. Yeah, so she is 33rd, I think, Simona Di Silvestro. She's so very last row in the very last spot. But look, she's in the race, and her team is all women, and I think that's cool.
I love this. I'm looking at this all-woman pit crew, and that is just rad. That's a genuine make me smile. I am genuinely smiling.
There you go. I'm love it. Pleased you're pleased.
Look at that. We should probably end right now, then, on this one happy note before we go.
Yes.
This is it. This is the last day. It is the end of our fiscal year, our FY here at Marketplace. And it's an it's an important this is the moment when we have to we're setting our budget for next year. We need to know if it's balanced. We raise all the money by midnight tonight that it takes to produce all of our shows, including this podcast. We need 450 more investors. Yep. That's how close we are to our goal. Yesterday, we needed 1,000. So thank you. You are awesome. Yeah. And maybe you'll be number 450. Help us.
And the good news is, the other than you guys being awesome, the good news is that this is the last time you're going to hear from us about fundraising for some certain period of time until Stephanie Patterson cracks the whip again. And so, you know, if you can,
so
please
bonus.
Do. That's where we are.
Marketplace.org/givesmart, and then we will get all the credit for that donation, which I think we can agree really also matters.
That's the most important part. All right, back tomorrow. I'm hoping I feel, you know that thing when you're sick and you don't really feel like drinking? I'm hoping I'm over it by tomorrow.
Well, you know what? If you're not over it, take that bourbon and make a hot toddy out of it.
Oh, that's
and then you'll feel all like happy and relaxed and ready for the long weekend.
And ready for my nap at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Exactly.
Anyway, Economics on Tap, YouTube live stream, 3:30 Pacific, 6:30 Eastern. All y'all figure out your own time zones. And there you go. Drew Jostad's clearly ready to go.
He's ready to rock. He's like, it's been 15 minutes. We started early.
It's been 16. 16, I know. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Marquette Green is our intern. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters and our Make Me Smart explainers. My apologies, by the way, to Ethan Parrots. I'm a jerk.
You are not. No one's brain is working. Today, you were sick. Today's program was engineered by Drew Jostad. Ben Holliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. Donna Tam is the senior producer. The executive director of On Demand is Satara Nieves.
Who says in the Slack channel, tequila, neat, good for the throat.
It's really true. My hot toddy propaganda is strong. It's true.
Yeah, you are an advocate for hot toddies. Yeah.
It's just the best drink when you don't feel so good. All the other times, it's tequila.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.